The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing in the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who is not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this morning, the doctrine of the STA. Roman numeral 2, page 3 of our notes. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment is designed for believers to assemble themselves together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life. The aspect regards to the assimilation of the divine viewpoint, first and foremost, demands that we're in fellowship. Otherwise, we let our sin nature rule our lives, and it will take issue with the truth in one form or fashion, and distortion, if not outright rejection. So therefore, it's imperative that when we approach the truth of Bible doctrine, that we isolate the sin nature, we employ the rebound technique as necessary, giving God the Holy Spirit the green light of rulership over our soul, and therefore being the ultimate author of Scripture, also the ultimate communicator to each and every one of us. We need no man to understand the truth of Bible doctrine, obviously recognizing the importance of the communicated gifts otherwise. God the Holy Spirit is the one that enlightens each and every one of us otherwise in this vein. So, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for your perfect plan, the revelation of your word, and the understanding of it by those who are true seekers of you, all this being made possible as we ask once again this morning via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The Bible clearly teaches that all of humanity are born into this world spiritually dead. That death, spiritual death, is a result of man inherently possessing a sin nature. Having a sin nature is the direct repercussions in regards to the failure of man in the garden of obedience to God, and the judgment of death coming upon him for the act of disobedience, as we know, singularly, simply eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When man disobeyed God, he ate of that fruit. That fruit contained particular properties in it that mutated, if you will, the genetic code of mankind and provided, instilled in him, in every cell of his body, a sin nature coupled with his parallel counterpart genetic code, the death gene. And in that respect, death now becomes a new law that's introduced into creation. And all this via the sin nature, obviously after the act of disobedience, in regards to control and rulership over men in this respect. So the Bible reveals to us under the true doctrine of anthropology that in spite of the verbiage you hear that there's good in every man, the Bible claims every man is inherently evil and sinful. So take that to the bank and smoke it at the bank. All right, the sin nature now has different aspects that are attributed to it in regards to understanding of it, definitions of it. And in Roman numeral 2 here, we're dealing with synonyms that is used for the old sin nature, also known as the sinful trend of Adam. That's our general title for it, acronym that we use, because it is a trend that developed in our first human parent, Adam, in this regards. And each of these terms here are descriptive in regards to some aspect of the sin nature, its activity or function. As we I've already seen simply the word sin is used technically for the sin nature. It obviously, this particular word, harmartia, sin in the Greek, simply means missing the mark. And here the mark is God's righteousness through obedience to God. And obviously the descriptive adjective sin or noun as applied to the sin nature recognizes its propensity to be disobedient to God. It's a propensity or trend to engage in sin, which it manifests itself in personal sin. A baby doesn't need very long in life before that sin nature exposes itself in regards to that child, even though the child at that point in time is essentially innocent in regards to making decisions. So it is the inward solicitation of the individual to engage in personal sin. B is referred to as a body of sin, and that recognizes that the sin nature, its DNA code, is found in every cell of the body. C, these are by way of review here, it is simply referred to as the corruptible man. That's in parallel or parallel to being referred to as the old self or the old man. That is corruptible, recognizes that the sin nature is essentially vacillating. You can't depend on it in regards to your life. It's unstable. It's prone to harm, destruction, things of this nature. And that is the aspect of our nature in regards to letting the sin nature rule in this respect. It is deep, referred to simply as the body of death. The body of death, and that denotes that the sin nature is that which brought about the penalty and judgment of death in regards to our genetic code, and hence the reason why we all get old eventually and die physically, as well as spiritual death. E, in that realm, is referred to as a law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. And that means that the sin nature is confined to these standards as its MO, as its method of operation. That's the law that governs it, sin and death, see. So the sin nature obviously has nothing good to offer, truly, even though men will think otherwise. F is simply referred to under the term of flesh, our flesh. And that obviously tells us where the sin nature is located. That is in conjunction with the terms of body, like body of death, etc. Body of sin. So G is also referred to as fleshly mind. So where the flesh denotes where it's located, the fleshly mind denotes where it manifests itself in thought. Our brain computer is, if you will, contaminated with the sin nature. It is part, it carries the DNA code just like the rest of the cells of our body do. So it directly influences our thinking, and it manifests itself in regards to our conscious state and thinking. H, where we left off, is referred to simply as carnal, and that denotes the state, the spiritual state that one is in before God, under the rulership of the sin nature. Romans 7:14. Sure about that one. Let me look here. 1 Corinthians. Let wish I had access to my Bible Work program. Immediately I could plug in the word and probably come up with it. 1 Corinthians 3:1, 3 and 4. The idea in probably the Romans passage is fine. Denoting it in context, the idea is a fleshly existence, a sinful existence. Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual. I am the flesh sold into bondage to sin. Recognize a carnal state in contrast to the law which is righteous. And then 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brothers, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, those are men who are carnal, as to babes in Christ. See. Verse 3, for you're still fleshly or carnal. That's the idea. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, evidence of their sin nature functioning, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? Those who, in their counterpart unbelieving state, are under absolute rulership of sin nature. For whenever, when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? The sin nature itself is competitive. The competitive spirit in regards to men often is derived from the sin nature, if not mostly. And here you have this competitive spirit. It's a form of arrogance or pride, if you will, in regards to we are the best, our team's the best, here our apostle, our communicator is the best. There is no real competition in the plan of God. The only competition is with yourself, truly, for those who are seeking to fulfill God's plan for their life. The sin nature is trying to compete with God the Holy Spirit in regards to control over the real you. So we should, obviously, with one another, isolate our sin natures and seeking to be competitive spirits towards one another in regards to our life. Whoever one right communicator is, if they're teaching sound doctrine, that's the issue. You know, doesn't make any difference what your last name is or your first name. The sound Bible doctrine is the issue, and the fact that they are your right communicator and you're lining up with the teaching. Essentially, the truth is and has been regurgitated throughout the bulk of history among positive volition. While there may be new insights in certain prophecies and things of this nature, the pillars of doctrines that we know and have learned over life have been understood for generations in regards to the Bible. Obviously, recognizing the order of dispensations and things of this nature. So, you know, there's no place for arrogance. The only true pride, if you will, that we have is the fact that we claim to be positive and that we know and understand God's plan. And to be adequate is all that is truly asked of any communicator or any believer in regards to fulfillment of that plan. So, that kind of deal out in the Christian world is totally out of line. It comes from the sin nature. I is referred to simply as mortal body, recognizing the consequences of death. We are subject to mortality through trauma, through health, through aging. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. The temporary body, which once you die, obviously you shuck that aspect. That you should obey its lusts to have rulership over our life. Jay is referred to as the old man. Old indeed, as it goes all the way back to its inception in the garden with our corporate parents, Adam and Eve. Ephesians 4:22, like the serpent of old, in association with that, is the old man, the sin nature. Ephesians 4:22, verse 20, but you did not learn Christ this way, in regards to, as he gives examples of running under the SCA, that's not the way the Christian is to conduct their life. You're supposed to deal with it, isolate it through rebound and application of doctrine, to represent in the witness of Christ, who is the perfect example of righteousness. See, if indeed, verse 21, you have heard him and have been taught in him, first class conditions, recognizing their faith in Jesus Christ and the fact that they have received sound Bible doctrine otherwise in regards to their faith too. See, just as truth is in Jesus, because of our union with him, we are able to have all the perks, the grace mechanics, etc., in order to overrule the sin nature and to gap the truth of Bible doctrine and to engage in proper witness of the life before God in fellowship. And all that, in principle, is then brought out in verse 22 and following, that in reference to your former manner of life back in your pre-salvation days, when you did not have the attributes, the spiritual attributes of the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, etc. The sin nature is all that ruled you. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, the old man. What is the old man? How can you put something off in regards to your life? He's not talking about being able to just completely forget about all these things. No, he's dealing with the sin nature. The characteristic of our person in nature that governed our life and ruled us in that respect. And we are to lay it aside like you take off a piece of clothing which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. The sin nature is that which produces the basic lust patterns of the human race. And these things are deceitful. When you listen to your sin nature, whether it gets you under control of your emotions or whatever, however it may function, and it takes you away from the strict understanding of Bible doctrine in regards to something in application or thought, you are being deceived. You are deceiving yourself through your sin nature. See? And these are lusts of deceit. Your fleshly body says, this is what's best. See? No, doctrine is what's best. God knows what's best, and He communicates that to us and lets us know these things through the truth of His Word. And to lay aside, obviously, the mechanics on how you're able to do so is to be filled with God the Holy Spirit through the rebound technique. And in that way, you put on the new self, the new man. The new man is your human spirit given to you as the result of regeneration of God the Holy Spirit, a byproduct of God the Holy Spirit, a spirit that's in the likeness of Jesus Christ and His human spirit. All these things describe our human spirit, see, which, in the likeness of God, in the sphere of God, literally, has been created in the sphere of righteousness and strictly devotion or loyalty of the truth. The new man is what we refer to, and often in prep school material, as doctrine man. It's dedicated to the individual isolating the sin nature and assimilating the truth of Bible doctrine, becomes a vessel for holding that information. It's a recording, if you will, almost, of our life in fellowship. It is indeed truly beyond. It is our literal spiritual passport to get into heaven. It is in the human spirit that plus R is imputed to us, reckoned to our account. So the human spirit, the new man, that you're supposed to put him on. So that looks at isolation and sin nature and allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to rule us through our human spirit. And the human spirit never gets old. It's not subject to the decay of death any more than our soul is, see, in that sense. Every day is like a new day of being regenerate, to perpetually generate eternal life as part of the function of the human spirit. That's the idea of being renewed through doctrine in that regards. So he's called the old man, also Colossians 3:9. Parallel concept. Do not lie to one another. Manifestation of the sin nature. That's STA activity. Lying. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, you became believers in Christ, and which was the first time you ever isolated the sin nature. You broke its rulership, its absolute rulership at that point in time, and allowed yourself to have the advantage now over it through overruling it and through rebound. Otherwise, you get hooked into Bible doctrine, phase two. That is the aspect of your life when you actually start truly laying aside the old man. When you're taught that doctrine and you start applying it. And obviously the Colossians are hooked into sound doctrine. And they started engaging in rebound and application of Bible doctrine. Now why are you going back and allowing the sin nature to rule? That's the idea. With its evil practices. And have put on the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of one who created him. And that's God. So, simply referred to as the old man, denoting the longevity of the existence of this DNA code in humanity. K is referred to as corruptible seed. 1 Peter 1:23. For we have been born again, not of the seed, which is perishable or corruptible, but imperishable, incorruptible. That is, through the living and abiding Word of God. And that obviously points to the fact that is through procreation that the STA is propagated, passed on through generation after generation of humanity. And faith in Christ, the very principle of being born again, regeneration, is that which is able to overcome the effects of this corruptible nature. L is referred to as wretched man, which probably most of us have experienced that type of perception when the SCA gets a hold of us at certain times in our life. Whatever pleasure, happiness it brings is almost always temporal. It is never truly sustaining. And ultimately, it brings about an attitude towards life that is just less than desirable. Romans 7:25, Paul, in that verse we read last class, verse 24, wretched man that I am. He's talking about his sin nature, his body of sin, his flesh, his carnality. Who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on one hand, myself with my mind and serve the law of God, then with my flesh the law of sin. The inner conflict. And Paul, he's ready to be done with having to fight this inward battle throughout the entirety of his life, essentially. And it definitely takes its toll, just as any combat takes toll on soldiers. See. After a while, I need a break. I need a little R&R. The ultimate break is when we're delivered from this body of death, through death, of all things. The end is simply referred to as evil, recognizing his connection with Satan, how Satan is able to rule over men, part of evil, the policy of Satan, Romans 7, 19 and 21. For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice very evil. The desires of the sin nature, if you will, that I do not wish. Looking at his positive volition. And obviously revealing just how powerful and catastrophic the SEA can be even in the life of the positive believer. Verse 21, I find in the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. And it's referred to as a body of humiliation. It represents, if you will, man's base instincts. The idea that men are animals. Well, the way they act in their sin nature, that's the way they do act often. Philippians 3:21. Our citizenship is new. It's in heaven, verse 20. And hence we are to represent our new heavenly kingdom and its laws, from which also we eagerly wait for a deliverer, Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state that has been contaminated with the sin nature under the penalty of death, and hence transient, temporal, mortal, into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself, looking at our new resurrection body as replacement, as we are able to share with Christ in His glory and inheritance from God in body, in bodily form. So a body of humiliation, the humble estate of which truly we exist. And as we, as mankind, are constantly reminded day in and day out, if you're in tune with the world. So O is referred to simply as a body of corruption. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 42 and 50. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, body of corruption. It is raised an imperishable body. It is prone to destruction. If you will, it has a corrosive nature. eventually, it will simply eat away at you until there's nothing left. It's the idea. Verse 50. Now I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable, those things that are corrupt, inherit the imperishable. Hence why we must ultimately shed this body, just as Jesus had to shed his body, as is contaminated with sin, even though none of it was willful on his part. To receive his resurrection body, so we must shed ours. And then P finally simply referred to as under the description of iniquity. Psalm 51:6, this recognizes the SCA is amoral. It is anti-moral, it is immoral, generally unethical. Psalm 51:6. One of the rebound Psalms of David. It should be verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. David's parents were married. There was no sin in regards to the act of procreation and his birth. What's he talking about? He's talking about sin nature. Into a world of sin. And in sin, my mother conceived me. Recognizing the inherent properties of the sin nature being passed down through the act of procreation. Alright, Roman numeral 3 here deals with the origin of the sin nature, the STA in mankind, which we have been going over. So A, Adam, the federal head, our genetic male parent of the human race, is the source of the STA. Per Genesis 2 and 3, the act of disobedience in the garden and the following judgments upon him. So one, Adam and Eve at the outset were created perfect and trichotomous with body, soul, and human spirit. Since God is not the author or sponsor of sinful trends, sins, or temptations. The image factor, the image of God factor, that is part of the creative makeup of our corporate parents, looks at their soul and human spirit. The soul is eternal, is the likeness of eternal life, if you will, in that sense. And the human spirit, recognizing that God created them righteous, innocent of any sin. But they were created also, since they had a soul, with free will. And God is not the author of sin. Sin has come into existence based on the will of others. People, you constantly hear this out in the cosmos, people trying to blame God for all the wrong in the world. Now, God created us to be free moral agents, just as He created the angelic host in the same way. It is these moral, these volitional agents are the ones who have chosen to diss God, to engage in evil. James 1:13, He is not the author, nor can He be, if you will, a part of any solicitation to evil. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. He's immune to it. Yeah, God's omniscient. He knows all things. He always has. He is privy to the information, the reality of things. But this does not make Him causative. in regards to these realities. Other aspects are the cause of why evil exists, not God. God is absolutely righteous. In fact, his person, wherever he recognizes through his omniscience, evil exists, his righteousness demands that it's judged for its very existence. See, that's his response. He does not engage in evil in and of himself as a response to it. He engages in righteous judgments towards that. And he does not tempt anyone. And the temptation, obviously, while most people recognize as temptation from without, it also can refer to temptation within. And that is essentially the emphasis of James, as verse 14 makes clear, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. God made me this way. No. Your parents made you that way. Blame them. As a parent, you go, ha ha, take this, take that. The dad's going, oh, here you go, son. Here's my SCA trend. Now you don't see the humor in it. Well, obviously you didn't know my dad very well. 1 John 1:5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Not one iota in regards to that which makes up his person, his essence. And obviously darkness refers to those things, evil and otherwise, as well as his physical manifestation and persona. So two, so man was created trichotomous, of body, soul, and spirit, in a state of innocence. Two, the woman first, then the man, developed a trend away from God, as we dealt with fairly in detail. A man's trend was pretty straightforward. I gotta have my woman. She's more important than God is. The woman, a little bit more sophisticated, as it tends to be in life. The woman first, then the man, developed a trend away from God. The trend in and of itself is not sinful. The solicitation that we may receive in temptation in and of itself is not a sin. Not until you engage in the act of sin, of disobedience, does it become a sin. So that's where legalism, you have to shuck that legalism out of your thinking in regards to sin in life, disobedience to God. And again, sin is not simply just amoral activities as generally understood, even though all disobedience has some aspect of immorality attached to it, or unethical aspects. Now, not until you engage in the sin, someone may solicit you all day long, but until you give your SCA the green light and you actually disobey, you do not sin. So the trend itself is not sinful. Continuing point two, since there was only one sin that could be committed, and that was the act of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as we dealt with in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. So man and woman was created in innocence, but they were created with free will, and God is designed in for their will to be tested, recognizing that God desires for men to embrace him, because that's what they choose to do. If men want to reject him, then they can go their own way. He did not create them as robots. So the test of their will was, as we know, God made all these great trees that had culinary aspects attached to them, fruit that they could eat. That was good. These trees were extremely pretty, pleasing to the eye. You know, like palm trees can be, especially when you're there and looking at one. You know, beautiful trees fall around here. You look at trees and, oh man, it's, you know. The idea, but here, all these trees, all these fruit trees that God made, good for food and pleasing to the eye. And there was two trees that stood out. One, the tree of life. And then there was one tree that they were commanded not to eat of. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And again, good does not refer to good in an absolute state as God, as accepted by God. It looks at human good, man's alternative to divine good. Men who reject the principle of what God accepts as good and will do good in their own terms and conditions. See? And then evil, obviously, is self-explanatory. So that was the one act of sin. And as we know, the woman, while she became legalistic over it, etc., all that just reflected her tendency, her trend of disobedience, where her volition was taking her. But those things at that point in time, in and of themselves, to contemplate these things, to even look at the potential of reality was not sinful. Not until they put that food, that fruit in their mouth, they chewed it and they swallowed it. That first gulp, that was it. That was the sin, to eat of the fruit, of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, the forbidden fruit. So three, this temptation to sin came from without and not from within, recognizing the absence of the sin nature at that point in time in their life. And that temptation, as we know, came via the serpent in Genesis 3, 1 and following. And the trend to disregard God's words was then converted into a simple trend when they committed the first sin of mankind, an act of disobedience to the commandment. And again, that's where even Christians, it's amazing how many of them don't recognize truly what sin is. They just think, well, don't lie, don't fornicate, or whatever, don't get drunk. No, sin is an act of any act of disobedience to God and His plan. The sin would be taking the Mosaic law, if you could do it, and recognize every law, and breaking any one of those laws. Well, guess what? There's some laws that you would have to. Like people that die, and you got a corpse in the house. What are you going to do? Sit in there and burn down the house just because the person died? No, you got to bury him. You got to get rid of the corpse. You touch the dead, you're unclean. See? That teaches the reality of the sin nature. That even though, obviously, we don't encourage this activity, we recognize it as a matter of fact. So, that sin nature, sin is any act of disobedience. You take all the royal imperatives that we know in regards to us living in the church age, incumbent upon us to fulfill God's plan in this dispensation, you break any of those, any of this, don't do this or do this, you sin. Bible class is designed to teach you what these sins are, as well as other aspects of God's Word in that vein. So that when you do engage in them, you can rebound. So the first sin was from temptation from without, not from within. And both Eve and her husband Adam chose to disobey God, and they missed the mark of God's expected righteousness from them. And little did they know that it had properties in it that was going to really screw up their DNA code. So four, the sin is known as Adam's original sin, that act of disobedience. That's the original sin. There wasn't anything else that he did. And the trend of sin is known as the simple trend of Adam, or the old sin nature, or any of the other synonyms that we've been through. And the reason why we contribute or attribute the sin to Adam rather than Eve's original sin, even though she's the first one to sin, is because he held the position of authority in the household. And he was the one that was directly given that commandment, which he passed that commandment down to, obviously, and sought to enforce it with Eve. And while she, as a subordinate, may have failed, he still could have maintained the integrity of the household himself by remaining obedient. So he gets the longest judgment because he is the one that is most responsible, even though she is culpable for her own actions. And the other aspect why we call it Adam's original sin is because the male is the transmitter of the sin nature, and that looks to him as that. Take it for what it's worth. You're an authority, you got responsibilities, and whether people are going to hold you to them or not, God will. All right, so 5, the trend to sin, which is disobey God's words, as seeing the woman, came from arrogance, legalism, in the form of legalism, lack of discernment, she is listening to a false communicator, the serpent. And probably one of the things that struck me in going through that I had not really probably seen as clearly was the fact she actually became the first false communicator as she tried to teach the serpent doctrine in regards to the fruit, not to touch it. So she had lack of discernment. Doctrine gives you discernment. It makes you wise so that you can make the correct decisions in life. And keeping information from a right man, she is avoiding the authority structure. In other words, associating with serpent, the serpent behind Adam's back. It never ceases to amaze me how people, even on doctrine, you try to run your household according to doctrine, and your wife makes mention, well, I need to check with my husband first, and they go, why? Well, obviously we know where you're coming from. Because he's her right man. See? And how you do it in your household, that's your business. That's how I try to do it in my household. As seen in a man, all right, so let me start this over as I got off into that bin. The trend of sin, as seen in the woman, came from arrogance, legalism, lack of discernment, listening to a false communicator, and keeping information from a right man, associating with the serpent behind Adam's back. As seen in the man, is reflecting and is allowing her to usurp his authority and put in his fellowship with her over doctrine. When you let a subordinate call the shots, then you allow them to rule. That's a logical principle. You think anybody would understand. Well, that's what essentially Adam allowed Eve to do. And in doing that, he put his fellowship with her over doctrine. And that's the way that's what caused a lot of people to peel from doctrine often, because they don't want to break certain associations with others. So, if doctrine is going to be a hindrance to that, a conflict, then I'm out of it. Now, often, I've heard that over 30 years I've been on doctrine. 6, the original sin, which is eating of the tree, came from volition apart from the old sin nature. So the importance of volition in life, obviously, is centered on and brought out in this regard. 7, by choosing for knowledge of good and evil, Adam chose a new ruler of life, the STA, the sin nature. At the point of the fall, judgment by God as promised was executed with results affecting all of mankind. The consequences is that now the entirety of man is going to be cursed by association. Very principle we just finished up with in Genesis. First of all, spiritual death occurred, as we know in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and the admonition not to eat of the fruit, the warning was that it would result in two deaths. Dying, you will die. First is spiritual. That happened immediately. And it evidenced in regards to the actions, the screwy actions of Adam and Eve after they ate of the fruit. B, Satan became the ruler of the world through the STA. That is the death line that Satan then was able to take hold of to control mankind. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And even if our gospel, verse 3, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world, that means that Satan has a form of absolute control, sovereign power over this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. How is he able to do that? Through negative volition, coupled with the SGA. The SGA is the distraction, the fuel to bring out the negative volition, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Negative volition, if you will, is always preoccupied with the sin nature. That's the way it is. So, see, then the SGA became the ruler of life. This is the mechanics of how all this came down. Ephesians 2:1-3. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, under spiritual death, according to the dictates of your sin nature, with absolute rulership. See, this is the idea behind that. According to the prince of the power of the air, again, the association with Satan as it parallels and complies with his evil of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, destined for judgment. See. So, 9, so mankind is ruled by Satan through the SGA. John 8:44, where Jesus refers to the Pharisees as their father, the devil. Well, how is that possible? The spiritual parallel as regards to the sin nature and unbelief. In 1 John 3:8, the one who practices sin is of the devil. Now, the funny is, see, the devil made me do it. No, you are working and operating in compliance with Satan when you run under your sin nature, goofballs. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil, to overrule the sin nature. So, B, immediately after the fall, Adam exhibited characteristics of the sin nature and his progeny. As we saw, one, he attempted to cover his own sins under Operation Fig Leaves, Genesis 3:7. Two, he demonstrated fear based on ignorance, Genesis 3:10. I was afraid because I was naked. Just an excuse. Three, satanic reprogramming came in the form of nakedness between husband and wife was wrong all of a sudden, Operation Legalism, Genesis 3:11. Four, failure to assume responsibility for the sin under Operation Patsy. Blame the wife, blame God, blame anybody except for the one who's guilty. Genesis 3:12. Take your break.